Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought I'd jump straight in there. Too much of a delay, though. My apologies. So, Section 3. This is, of course, the most important section, and one where we've already seen some very healthy and extensive debate. It's only right that the lion's share of the agenda has been allotted to it. Conflict, especially in urban areas, poses risks to civilians. And that is one reason why conflict prevention and resolution are so important. But there are circumstances where there is no alternative to conducting military operations, including operations in urban areas. And there are circumstances where the hostilities and the approach to hostilities which is adopted are necessary to protect civilians. We must work to minimise the risks that arise from such action. Turning to the specific changes required in the text. Firstly, let me be plain that we cannot support paragraph 3.3 as currently drafted. However, we're confident that we can find a form of words that is acceptable to all, and it's vital that we do so. As we mentioned earlier, I'd like to make it very clear that for us, a key factor of this work isn't just the text, but what comes after it. That is exactly how the protection of civilians can be tangibly improved, and we want to be involved in that process. Our armed forces, however, must be able to operate, always within the confines of IHL, to counter those who deliberately operate within urban environments. The text, as it stands, would hinder our ability to do so. We recognise that many in this room view the specific words of avoid, restrict, or refrain as being important to this paragraph. They can be acceptable, but they need to be used in such a way that takes into account legitimate military imperatives and the realities of armed conflict. Sometimes, military action designed to bring a conflict or threat to a swift resolution can protect civilians in the long run. A full avoidance of, or placing restrictions on, the use of explosive weapons would prevent our ability to achieve this. Importantly, it wouldn't tackle the issue of those who don't have such policies or practices in place to avoid this. And it wouldn't address the problem of those who already fail to comply with IHL. Wording to acknowledge that we will avoid or restrict or refrain where feasible is therefore vital. The object of why we're meeting is the protection of civilians. It's therefore crucial that the paragraph is grounded on the prevention of civilian harm, and it's right that the paragraph focuses on the policies and practices that are needed to do so. Although this is the clear purpose of IHL, linking the text to compliance with or acting in accordance with IHL runs a risk of clouding the issue and introducing different interpretations of the paragraph. We therefore recommend that it's deleted. The same is true of text about effects extending beyond military objectives, as my US colleagues have mentioned. With regards to specific wording of the paragraph, we can be flexible, to a degree, of course, on how this is achieved, but the wording must not create obligations or commitments that extend beyond IHL. Secondly, and this is the point that comes back to the issues that we raised during sections 1 and 4, the use of the term reverberating effects within paragraph 3.4 is a significant concern. For the reasons outlined in our intervention this morning, the term makes the scope of the paragraph unclear, potentially requiring unrealistic foresight on behalf of our armed forces when planning or conducting operations on an unclear set of possible effects. As a result, and in line with many other delegations who have raised similar reservations, we suggest reverberating is replaced with indirect. We would also suggest starting the paragraph by linking it to 3.3 and beginning it with ensure in their policies and practices. Finally, on this section, and as appropriate, is required at the beginning of paragraph 3.5 to make it clear that these obligations aren't universal. An alternative would be to place it at the end of the chapeau before the section. In the same vein, the hour towards the end of the paragraph needs to be removed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.